and he was there covering the match between the Sharks and the Dragons last night. Adam Pengilly, good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. And Clarky, that is definitely not fake reality TV. It's all real. You'll understand that.
Well, it sounds Survivor, just listening to the, to that interview then with Jonathan, if he's saying it's not staged, then it sounds a little different to Married at First Sight, I would have thought, because that show is definitely staged. My God. But look, I'm pumped with Loz. He's Survivor man through and through. You've always loved it. I actually think, though, that is your... If your knees can handle it...
That'd be my game.
I reckon that's your go. Yeah.
That'd be my game, because I would be...
Strategic king. That's what you would be.
Conniving.
Yeah. Car, like I said, car salesman or politician. Or that's Loz. Man, he'll sell you anything.
Real estate.
He'll sell you anything.
I would love to see you two team up on the Amazing Race. Clarky and Loz teaming up on the Amazing Race
going around
the world.
She'd be interesting.
Amazing Race. I don't think our bodies are...
And I'm not good at following the... Like, I just go, nah, Loz, we're going this way. Get in, I'll drive. I'll fly.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I'm not good at reading instructions and, most importantly, following them.
Yeah, no, I'm no good. But Survivor would be my
Survivor's
game.
Survivor's you.
Yeah, yep. If I had a choice, that'd be the one I'd want.
Mm. How was the post-match media conference last night, Adam?
Short. Very short, Jared, for Anthony Griffin and Ben Hunt. Mm. They were awful last night, the Dragons, the second half. That was a terrible performance after halftime. They were right in that game, and I thought going to the Sheds at halftime, and it might not have been obvious on television, but they had a strong breeze behind their backs in the second half, and I thought, okay, they're only 4 points down. They played relatively well in the first half, even though they made a few errors, obviously. I thought the game was there to be won, and as soon as Jaden Sullivan knocked that ball on from Moses Sully's offload, I think it was in the first couple of minutes of the second half, they just went to water, didn't they? And it's been an issue with that club for many, many years now. The resilience on the field, or lack of it, when things don't go their way in the games, was there for everyone to see last night. Once they conceded that first try in the second half, it was just an absolute avalanche. And I don't want to take anything away from the Sharks, because I thought they were great. They just played some sparkling attacking football. Nico Hines just made a huge difference to that team in his first game back for the year, but I know you guys have been speaking about it, but once that news came out into the public domain last week about the coaching search, it's going to be talked about ad nauseum now. And every time they put in a performance like that, it just the noise around it just, I suppose, magnifies just that little bit more.
Can he finish the season, Adam, as coach?
Well, if they keep playing like that, Clark, you know. Yeah. Simple as that.
But is anybody surprised? Like, to me, if the Dragons don't win another game, no disrespect, and nothing about the players, or if they don't win another game this season, I won't be surprised because of what has gone down with their coach.
Yeah, I asked Ben Hunt about it in the post-match press conference last night, just sort of saying, because he was quite forthright in his views only a few weeks ago before the start of the season. He virtually pleaded with the board to say, listen, guys, just back it. Give us a bit of time. Agree. Wait till the end of the season. If things don't work out, then fine. Make your call. But I don't think Ben was overly happy about the news leaking out into the public domain last week. And it's just creating that extra layer of pressure and intensity around the group. So, and to be fair, I thought they played relatively well in their first game of the year against the Titans. I thought they were good against the Broncos for the first half and then stuck with them for 20, 25 minutes of the second half. But a performance like that last night was just not good enough on a huge occasion for the club in a local derby against the Sharks. So they've got a couple of games in the next couple of weeks against the Dolphins, I think. They've got to try and, you know, get back on track. But if things keep going the way they're going, Clarky, there will be a change at some stage, surely.
What did you make of the racing on Saturday and Prowess winning the Vinery?
Oh, outstanding, Loz. She is a very, very special horse. And I think we saw that in Roger James after the race. I've never seen Roger that emotional after a race, to be honest. He was reduced to tears, and he made the statement, which is a big call, but, you know, he's a master horseman. He'd know better than most. He said, this potentially could be the best horse I've ever trained. And the way she put them away there on the weekend in the Vinery suggests she's a top, top class filly. And they've got to come back as mares. Not all fillies do that, clearly. But he's going to give her every single chance. And I'm sure there's a lot of rival connections there who are breathing a huge sigh of relief when Roger said straight after the race, she's not going to the Oaks. She's back on the plane tomorrow. I think she's back in New Zealand already. She was due to fly anyway yesterday. So I'd imagine they'll be penciling in the Cox Plate and the Spring as a main name, coming back across to Australia. But that was a dominant performance there on the weekend. And you can't really talk about too much of the Beaten Brigade because she was just clearly in the league of her own prowess. So, yeah, well done to Roger James and Robert Wellwood and Mark Zara picking up a Group 1 coming up to Sydney. And can't wait to follow her in the next campaign in the spring.
Bjorn, Group 1, Arapahoe, Sydney Cup bound, winning the Tancred there on Saturday. 4 years, I read, between Group 1s for the great B. Baker. And love his celebrations, as always.
How do you reckon that BjornBakerRacing.com.au website went on Saturday night and yesterday, Jared? We've got a workout, I reckon.
No doubt.
Yeah, well done to Bjorn. And he's spoken about the fact that he needs a headline horse. And he's found one in Arapahoe. And he was an iron horse last year. He had that massively long campaign, pretty much spanning from March or April all the way through to the Melbourne Cup. And didn't shirk his task whatsoever throughout that whole campaign. He's come back in the autumn and he's looked a fantastic horse again. And obviously winning that Tancred there on the weekend just fulfills Bjorn's expectations with him. He thought he was a Group 1 horse in the making and he's found that. So he'll head towards the Sydney Cup and we've seen him run over 2 miles in the past. I think he'd be really competitive in that race as well. I don't want to take anything away from Montefilia there on the weekend. She was enormous. And when you read the stewards report after the race, she was galloped on, she pulled up lame, and to finish a narrow second on the 7-day backup after having issues in the run clearly. That's an enormous performance from her and a great training effort from David Payne. But you don't want to take any away from Arapahoe. He's got his Group 1 and Bjorn's back in the big leagues, winning a big major race on a huge carnival day.
What'd you make of Cascadian winning the Australian Cup down there at Flemington?
Yeah, it was going to be a horror watch, Lods, for a lot of the straight there. He was held up and blocked for a run. And when he finally got out, Ben Mellum stoked him up and he put them away really quickly. What a great horse Cascadian's been for Godolphin for many years now. He's sort of one of these horses that came down to Australia, I suppose, as a younger horse from Europe earlier in his career. He's raced here for several seasons now, picked up a couple of Group 1s, obviously, and stretching out to 2,000 metres, he was really in his element there. And I thought the synergy was great with the race because Edward Cummings won the race last year with Jewess. Obviously, James won the race this year with Cascadian and just continues the great Cummings legacy in the Australian Cup. So I'm not quite sure what James is going to do with him next start. He's even floating the prospect maybe coming right back to the all-age stakes, 1,400 metres, which would be a huge training effort coming back from 10 furlongs. But yeah, we'll see how that plays out.
And incentivised, being retired. That's such a shame.
Yeah, horrible news, Jared. Peter Moody announced this over the course of the weekend. He could have been absolutely anything on the track. He hasn't raced for the best, or hadn't raced for 18 months before Peter Moody made that announcement on the weekend. We know he won the Caulfield Cup in that scintillating fashion and then ran so well behind Very Elegant in the Melbourne Cup. And he's just had problem after problem since then. So Connections probably made the right call to give him a nice paddock to live out the rest of his days. But, geez, I would have loved to have seen him race for another 12 or 18 months because he could have cleaned up our weight for age ranks.
Oh, 9 wins from 13 starts, $5.7 million in prize money. Ah, oh, it's such a shame. Anyway, Adam, we got the championships this week. Bring it on.
Yeah, going to be a fantastic week, Jared. Hoping the weather stays away. We get a nice dry track at Ramwick. And just, I cannot wait for the TJ Smith stakes on the weekend, boys. What a cracking field that's going to be.
Thanks, mate.
See you, boys.